ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Always gets me going when I hear the countdown by Eric the Tech right before airtime. The old 5, 4, 3, 2, and then he gives me the finger. Not that finger, the index finger, you know. Old school radio time right here. Folks, go ahead and dim the lights. If you're listening to this via Global Star VTR, dim the lights. If you're driving, don't do that. Just listen. We've got a lot of information to give you tonight on this episode of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Folks, we broadcast live each and every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Global Star Radio Network, it's the place to be. I want to thank Todd and Global Star for all of the hard work that they do. BTR as well, Blog Talk Radio. Very, very good. What a great service they provide. And, of course, live on YouTube. And, folks, subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's right. Just go to Hagman and Hagman.com or HagmanReport.com and there, find our YouTube channel. Subscribe to it. But I just want to welcome everyone into the mix tonight. We've got a great show. Stan Dale in hour three. But in the run up to that, I've asked John Robertson to join me at the bottom of the hour to talk about certain things, we've been working on together. It's going to be an interesting show, because a couple of things. I'm just going to start off with this. I talked to a gentleman today who said, you know, I had to stop listening to all radio and stop. I had to move away from my TV and I had to stop listening. Not to your show, not because your show sucks or anything like that. Although, no, I'm kidding. No, he said, I just had to get away from everything just for a while because the dire nature of everything. You can only last so long at a high RPM rate, can't you? I mean, it after a while it gets tiring, it wears you out mentally and physically, emotionally. We shouldn't live like that, really. That's not how we are supposed to live. Now, that doesn't mean turn everything off and forget about it and bury your head in the sand. No, we just have to put everything in perspective, and that's what tonight's all about is putting things in perspective. The understanding what's going on out there. But let's not sound alarm bells. I mean, the sun will rise. God willing, of course, the sun will rise tomorrow. For most of us, it's not a promise, but I mean, think about that. But, and life will go on. In spite of a Trump victory, even. Oh my goodness. Even for those people wearing the safety pins, life will go on. In other words, there will be another day that they will have to live, or that God has given them to live. Things are strained, obviously, but you can't live your life in just this constant, twisted, emotional. You can't be an emotional wreck, or immerse yourself in all of the news and become an emotional wreck, because then you hit this mental brick wall where everything bounces off and you're just really a zombie. So, perspective, that's what it's all about, among other things. But a very information laden show tonight. Portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Omaha Steaks. I don't know if you've done this yet, folks. Have you gone to omahasteaks.com? I would urge everyone to do that. Go to omahasteaks.com, and then the first thing you do in the search bar, put HH for Hagman and Hagman. Just put, and it'll come up. You'll see specials. The one special is 77% off. You can't beat that. I mean, you want to talk about holiday shopping. I've never had a bad, every time I've sent a gift from Omaha Steaks, or rave reviews, omahasteaks.com, HH in the search bar. Have at it. I'm going to thank everyone for listening and tuning in. I want to thank you for everything you've done for us and with us and, you know, being with us. Now, doing a triage on the news headlines, what's important? Of course, we've got the recount BS out there. And I say BS, and I don't mean to be crass, but I mean, is this going to change anything? No. 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 But that's not what it's meant to do. It's meant, and I've been saying this for so long, what's going on, what we're seeing with the recount is, and the threatening of the electors and the pressure on the electors, is to cast doubt on the legitimacy of Trump's election or Trump's victory. But it's in the wrong arena. We know that there are fraudulent votes out there that exist out there. They just don't exist where we're being pointed. It's not a problem people voting for Trump illegally. No, the problem exists when you've got the illegals voting for, obviously, the Democrats and millions upon millions. Yes, and I've gotten so many emails. I don't know if people think I don't really understand what's going on because, well, I did a video about the electors, about the situation. I don't know when that was. Eric, I don't know. Do you know when that was? The video about the... Eric's shaking his head now. He's, you expect me to... He's, yeah, I don't follow you. But I did a video about the recount in the electors. If you go to our YouTube channel, you can watch it. It's, I think, 8 minutes. But people... It's interesting because people don't... I don't know whether they think that I'm putting too much emphasis on this. It's not about the recount. It's not about the possibility of the electors just tanking everything. That's not what it's about. What it's about is the process. Remember the plans, the objectives, or I should say the objectives don't change. Now, the plans do based on what people can exploit and what people can take advantage of. Jill Stein is a useful idiot in the process. If you think Jill Stein, who has absolutely no dog in this horse, no horse in this race, or dog in this horse, no horse in this race, she's got nothing to gain by a recount for herself. So who is she acting on behalf of? Obviously Hillary Clinton. If you think for a moment that she's acting to restore integrity to the American elections because she's some big patriot, I think you're sadly mistaken. Some have said, well, this is a way to get rich or to enrich herself through financial contributions. Okay, well, that could be part of it. I don't think it's the entirety of it. She was needed as a third party, pardon the pun, but as a third party, in order to be the conduit to cause a recount because Clinton herself couldn't do it or wouldn't do it. That would look bad. So Jill Stein is the conduit to the recount. And I understand a recount is not going to make a difference unless things go sideways, and they could. It's not impossible. It's highly improbable. If things go sideways and, you know, could it gum up the works? It's possible. And there's no use in going through all of the mechanisms, in my view, of how what could possibly take it to that level, because you can read about it. You can do your own research for it. So but it's all about warring against American and Western values, which many people believe Trump represents. I happen to agree. Now, I want to caution everyone, too. I believe, this is me personally, I believe Trump is the best candidate between Clinton and the Republican side. Or, the best guy running is Trump. And I believe that Trump represents more closely my values than, obviously, Hillary Clinton. Now, having said that, do I believe that Trump is going to save us? No, I don't think so. Because we must, everything must come from us, from you and I. If we don't hold our leadership, our leaders accountable, then it's gone. Gone. Totally gone. Forget about it. If you want to sit on the sidelines watching TV and not being engaged, then you know what? It doesn't matter. It's over for you. But if you want to engage, actively engage, and make sure that Donald Trump is being held to account for everything that he does, including but not limited to even prosecuting or cause, not, see, that's another thing too. I'll say, well, you know, Trump should prosecute Clinton. Well, no, okay. I understand Trump can't prosecute anything. The Justice Department prosecutes. The FBI doesn't even prosecute. The Justice Department prosecutes. But you can't prosecute if you don't have the basis for don't have the material to prosecute. We're going to be getting into more of that tonight as well. Pizzagate and how far back this goes and what it embraces. If you think for a moment that it's just about Pizzagate or about child sex trafficking, you're sorely mistaken, because it goes even deeper than that. And at the epicenter, or one of the, this is massive. The criminality here is massive. And it's not only massive, but this has the capability of taking down governments, or large portions of governments, not just in the United States. Okay. But getting back to Donald Trump, I don't believe for a moment that he is going to be the savior of the country. It's going to be up to us, you and I. We have to fill stand in the gap and fill the void and get us back on the right moral compass setting. Can Trump go rogue, for example? Can he go fascist? Anyone could, right? I mean, Obama could have gone totally rogue, and still can. He's got what, 40 some days, 50 days left? I mean, anything is possible, but is it probable? Of course. Of course, I think that we have to look at what's reasonable and what's not. Now, let's visit a couple of news items here. ISIS comes to Ohio, of course. Drudger is reporting that. ISIS comes to Ohio. Look, I had that information. Not that it's about me, but in my four-minute video yesterday, I talked about the fact that it was verified to me through law enforcement, a law enforcement source, that the perpetrator of the attack yesterday in Ohio with the knife, the Somali immigrant who injured 11 people at Ohio State University, Abdul Razak Ali Artin, this 20-year-old guy, had correspondence with ISIS-related material, or had not correspondence, had ISIS-related material downloaded on his devices. Now, I don't know if that means a cell phone or phone, iPad or computer, but electronically. I had that yesterday, of course, came out today on Drudge. That was, but it doesn't take a really much to understand that there are lone wolves here that are being told to activate, are being activated. You're going to see more and more of this. And the video, specific video from ISIS, the propaganda video, does talk about, does speak to the Muslim men here in the United States and in the West, the Western countries, to take knives and to kill / anybody from the alleys to the suburban neighborhoods. Don't think you're safe if you live in a nice suburban neighborhood. You're not in imminent danger. But just because you live in a nice area of town, that does not make you immune from this kind of action. You're less of a risk, but you're not immune. I mean, when you look at victimology, okay, or, the process of being a victim, potential for being a victim. Those people who live in gated communities, of course, are less, and don't go out and are not living in certain areas, you're less likely to be a victim of an attack. And it has a lot to do with behavior. It has a lot to do with geography, proximity, activities, and so on. But the risk assessment in this case is widespread, because there will be lone wolf attacks. Though they will be on the rise, because the ISIS propaganda video that I had seen, this was from Europe, that was, it was done in the UK and was posted to numerous Islamic websites, Arabic websites, Islamic language, or Arabic language, Islamic terrorism websites. Yeah, go out and do exactly what this guy did in neighborhoods and back alleys and schools and wherever you can do it. So we're not immune. And, you know, I noticed too that, and if I don't say this, people are going to say, well, you're just not being honest. I understand that the United States and the West were responsible for the creation of ISIS. Specifically, the policies of Clinton and Obama has refined, what they did was they refined Al-Qaeda into ISIS. They allowed this, not just allowed it, but actually facilitated the formation of the Islamic State and the laid the foundation for the caliphate to be created. Russia, on the other hand, has been fighting it, and they're, of course, in the epicenter of the fight is in Syria, as I've written about before. And of course, we have funded ISIS. And ISIS is fighting the Russians in Syria. And we're toe-to-toe almost with the Russians. We're engaged in a proxy fight with the Russians. And Hillary Clinton, by coming in, if she would have won, would have exacerbated that conflict. So I laugh when I read things on the internet or in newspapers especially, because I get print newspapers, of course, you know, the various newspapers. So when you read some of the things, well, Trump is going to get us into World War III, so some of the opinion columns, they blow my mind. It would be Hillary that would be the culprit behind this. And, of course, this transcends political parties. I found the picture, and I don't know if, Eric, if you've got that photograph, if you can put it up on YouTube, of John McCain in front of, in Benghazi, of all places, with Chris Stevens. Which is a good segue into the next part I'm going to tell you. Pizzagate is one part of a larger... Think of a big puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle, a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. And you've got various sections. If it's a landscape photograph of a landscape chopped up into a jigsaw puzzle. You know, you got the mountain, you got the trees, you got the lake, you got the barn, you got the path and all that, the sky. Well, Pizzagate would be like the mountain and maybe part of the sky. The big puzzle is what is important. Pizzagate, the satanic ritual abuse, the child trafficking, is one aspect of the bigger puzzle. It's a part of a much larger operation that does tie into Benghazi. It does tie into Libya. It does tie into Arab Spring. It ties into so many things. The Clinton Foundation is at the epicenter even of many of these initiatives. I had mentioned before, one important thing, a contact within one of the agencies, and that's all I'll say, had sent me a message. He said, look, I want you to pull up an article from September 29th, 1997. It appeared in Insight on the News, written by Timothy Mayer, the title of which is Snips. I think I did that once before. Snoops, Sex, and Videotape. Publication is Insight in the News. The volume is number 13, issue 36. The publication date is September 29th, 1997. 20 years ago. 9/29/97. Alright? That's when it was published by Timothy Mayer. And the subjects include the United States Federal Bureau of Investigations, investigations into the Democratic National Committee, summit meetings, political corruption, and here is what everyone needs to pay attention to, in my view, Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, conferences, meetings, and seminars. Now, think of where we are today with Pizzagate. All of these people talking, oh my goodness, you know, oh, this is horrible. My goodness, look at what we're finding. And we have, in my view, some of the most talented citizen investigative journalists I've ever seen. They're either two steps ahead of me, or when I catch up to them, they go another step or two steps ahead. It's, and I've got some, I'm able as a licensed investigator, if I find something or someone I can use by virtue of my licensing and a valid, legitimate purpose, I've got proprietary databases I can use to get additional information. And I've done that. But the amazing thing, I'm watching the most amazing process with these citizen journalists, these people who, oh, they're crass. Oh, the language is bad. The sentiment oftentimes, you know, in the open forums is like they want to hang all these people. I understand that. I do too. They just, I might think it, maybe not as the way they say it, but anyway. But they are some of the best, in my view, some of the best researchers. I would match their skill set with many investigators I know because they're tenacious. I'm talking about people that that had done the Reddit forum. God bless you folks. Maybe you didn't get 100% right, but God bless you because you are exposing this. And I'm talking about the people at 4chan. God bless you, every participant. And the participants who are posting, despite the blowback in forums, political forums such as Free Republic, God bless you for your tenacity and posting in spite of the blowback in other survivalist boards such as Time Bomb 2000. A number of talented people there looking into these things. So the total number of people who are actually, man, just moving mountains, that the biggest cooperative effort I've ever seen. You guys are doing a fantastic job. Better than the press ever could. You put Bob Woodward and Bernstein to shame. You guys are great. And even people, even listeners to this show who have emailed me saying, look at this. Yeah, man, I'll tell you, wow, look at that. And, you know, okay, so we added to the board. Folks, I need a bigger board. Seriously, I've got a whiteboard. I need a bigger, because, in fact, there is not, you would have to have an entire wall dedicated to, like, a flow chart of data using index cards and 12-point font. It would take a really 8x10 wall to map this all out. And we do have a wall dedicated. We just broke this open this past weekend, dedicated to making a flowchart. But all of our research findings are being memorialized and documented and sent off premises. So everything that we develop, we have a kill switch for, obviously. Not that we need it. We're not trying to be, you know, I'm not trying to be a hyperbolic kind of guy, but it just in the event. But here, getting back to Snoop's sex and videotape, I just want to, before the break, I want to call attention to this. Timothy Mayer wrote about this. He said, it comes as no surprise the national security specialists, except in the magnitude of the operation, that the FBI and other U.S. intelligence agencies conducted a sweeping electronic espionage mission in the fall of 1993. During a summit meeting of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, or APEC. That was a meeting in Seattle hosted by Bubba Clinton in 1993. You remember this? In the fall of 1993, Clinton hosted 15 countries, 15 Asia-Pacific nations, in Seattle. All right. Well, it may, he writes, it may come as no surprise to anyone who has been following the fundraising scandals that information from this covert national security operation, first reported by Insight last week, subsequently may have leaked to politicos at the White House. They, in turn, are suspected of passing such classified data to Democratic National Committee or DNC officials and outside attorneys working on behalf of the Democratic Party. Now, what this mayor is saying is this. There was a meeting in 1993 of 15 Asia-Pacific countries. We hosted it. Essentially, we bugged the premises. Every place that was able to be under electronic surveillance, we did it. The FBI did it. I'm cutting to the chase here. The findings, I'm going to tell you on the other side of the break. Because back in 1993, things that you see today were playing out in 93 under Clinton, and this explains a lot. Stay right where you're at. Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman. Let me join by John Robertson, who's going to come on and assist me with the findings in the Pizzagate investigation, as well as other things here on the other side. But I'm going to finish up the APEC findings on the other side. Stay right where you're at. School, right from our radio and television studios here, but lights down, information heavy, coming to you, just information, nothing else, no hype. Want to thank everyone for listening, everyone who has sent in a letter. My wife just, actually, my daughter handed me a whole bunch of letters today. I was reading them that we got in the mail, and thank you for all of the suggestions, all of the nice things that you've said and written, and the best wishes for, you know, I just want to thank, because we got the best listening audience in the world. We really do, bar none. And to keep with our listener protection program, that's kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, because we do have sponsors, and of course one of the sponsors is Omaha Steaks. We offer nothing but the best, in my view, and Omaha Steaks is just that. You know, I had been struggling with what to purchase or what to buy, what kind of gifts to buy certain people, especially for someone who's got it all seemingly, and with the holidays fast approaching and ordering gifts, it's just a, man, how many guys, you know what I'm talking about, and ladies, you too. Well, you can take the pressure off of you this holiday season. You can get the perfect gift and avoid malls, lines, and crowds. Go to omahasteaks.com, and as soon as you do that, enter HH in the search bar. If you're looking for the perfect gift, let me tell you about that, what they have set up for us. And that's a special deal for the Hagman listeners. For only $49.99, you can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code HH in the search bar. It's a 77% off savings. Now think about this. The package was $215.90. We asked them to set something up, especially for our listeners. They did. The head of Omaha Steaks, and he's just a tremendous guy. He actually said, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to create this family gift pack. And 77% savings. It's $49.99. It's under $50. And I've had so many compliments on this that I cannot tell you. So go to omahasteaks.com and enter HH into the search bar. And here's what you get for $50. You get two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, 12-ounce package of meatballs, all beef, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steaks seasoning packet, plus you get four additional kielbasa sausages free. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter HH in the search bar. Add the family gift pack to your cart and get a 77% savings. It's a gift guaranteed to be a hit. omahasteaks.com, HH in the search bar, plus they've got like over 500 gourmet gift ideas. You can't go wrong. omahasteaks.com, search bar, HH. Have at it. You'll thank me later. But back to what I was saying, and John's going to be joining us here shortly. I know he's on deck here, but I want to finish with this because this is so important, folks. What we're seeing today is the revelation because of a series of events. You had Benghazi, you had you had WikiLeaks, 10 years of WikiLeaks. They celebrated their 10th anniversary. And there's something about Julian Assange that's going on here. We'll get into that with John. But if you go back even further, when Clinton was the president, Bill Clinton, AIPAC in the Pacific Northwest meeting in Seattle, hosted by President Clinton, 1993. Summit meeting of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation countries. The FBI, the intelligence agency, bugged every room. They had every member of that committee, that commission, that conference under physical and electronic surveillance. Would that surprise you? No, of course not. But writes Timothy Mayer, in Insight on the News publication, may I remind you again, Insight on the News is a publication. The date is September 29th, 1997. He writes about this. He writes about the bugging, but that's not the story. He writes this, but what does come as a surprise is an apparent failure by federal law enforcement and intelligence authorities to pursue allegations. Now listen to this, of kickbacks to the FBI agents involved in the sweeping intelligence operation and, now here's the money part, and separate allegations involving underage boys provided as prostitutes to visiting dignitaries attending the week-long conference of APEC, the 15 APEC nations. Let that sink in for a second. It didn't even create a blip back in 93 and certainly not in 97 when it was published. So you've got all of this surveillance being conducted, electronic surveillance of these diplomats, these people from other countries, and even members of our own government in Seattle meeting for APEC in the fall of 93. 97 it comes out, look, we had y'all bugged, everything was under surveillance. Now you've got a failure by law enforcement, or perhaps this is not a failure, this is an intentional device by law enforcement not to pursue allegations of kickbacks to the FBI agents involved in the sweeping intelligence operation. In other words, the FBI agents got money, kickbacks, and other favors. And also, there were separate allegations involving underage boys provided as prostitutes to visiting dignitaries and others during that conference. One reason for the alleged cover-up may be, and that may be the only term appropriate, by the way, according to high officials in and out of government who claim direct and indirect knowledge of this particular bugging operation, the APEC bugging, is that those said to have engaged in kickbacks, now this involved thousands of dollars, include FBI agents through suppliers with whom they worked to procure electronic audio and video surveillance equipment. All right, so you've got the kickbacks there. So you got, and when I was an operational asset with the FBI, believe it or not, some of my electronic surveillance equipment was better quality than theirs. Oh, they could get it from DC or from other areas, but in my area, mine was more advanced, so they would use mine. I didn't realize, of course, I could have charged them rent or whatever, but that's on me. So there's kickbacks involving this. Now, as for the allegations of juvenile prostitution, sources who spoke to Insight magazine on the condition that they not be further identified said that the reason these crimes were not pursued is that a probe would have exposed the top secret national security operation. In other words, in order to show what they had, they would have had to admit to the surveillance, and they didn't want to do that because that would have created this animus between the countries. So you've got a bunch of juvenile victims, prey. I mean, they were prey to these diplomats. And Free, Louis Free at the time, FBI director, wouldn't comment. All these people just took the White House declined comment. All of the agencies at the time just not going to say anything. Congress didn't do a damn thing about this. So the bottom line is the government of the United States was pimping out small, young teenage boys to Asian diplomats knowingly, getting it on tape on equipment that was being used by federal agents who were actually got kickbacks for purchasing the equipment from certain vendors. So you've got like three different scandals here all wrapped up in one with APEC. But the bottom line is this was occurring back in 93, exposed in 97. But it gets worse because, and I'm not going to go further down this road, but just to show you that this has been going on for this long, you see, Pizzagate involves members of royalty, members of other countries, members of Congress, both sides, both political sides, members of the White House. You got to go back even further, go back to the Franklin cover-up. Many people poo-poo that. Oh, no, no. And then this overlaps into many of the items that Russ Dizdar talks about and has gotten into, and I know that he has got a lot of documentation. I hopefully he's okay with me telling you this, but, I mean, he's well aware and has documentation from the Franklin scandal back in Omaha, Nebraska, that was rife within the Catholic Church. This is not an indictment of Catholicism. I'm just saying that that's where it's at. Even today, but now today, you throw in the satanic, the spirit cooking, the satanic aspect of this, and you've heard other people talk about the Satanism. This is all the bigger story here, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Every page you turn, it gets worse. It gets deeper and more perverse. And yes, you know, folks, Planned Parenthood is even tied into this in a tangential way, in my view, because through abortion, many people who are proponents of killing the unborn are also involved in satanic activities and believe this to be a sacrifice to Lucifer, to Satan, as twisted as this seems. And then you get into the sale of body parts, and even worse, you get into, hold on to yourself, because this is to cannibalism, and the belief that the stem cell research that's often talked about. It doesn't have to be gross cannibalism, so to speak, although, boy, I guess that's kind of an oxymoron, but the search for youth, the search for everlasting life, you know, through consuming or being injected with the blood of young people or cells of young people. I mean, it gets so twisted, but all of this is tied together at some level. John Robertson is a great friend, and I asked him to come on join me tonight for about an hour, just for some conversation. John's going to come on right now and kind of join in the conversation. John, how are you doing, brother?
Well, Doug, thank you so much for having me on this evening, and I just want to say greetings and God's blessings to all the Hagman listeners, and just a special thank you for hanging with us in what we need to explain and what we need to parse through in the time that Doug, you and I will spend together this evening. Folks, to borrow a quote from Greg Jackson, we are in a code blue moral crisis in this country right now. Yes, Donald Trump got elected, and praise God for that. However, we are uncovering daily, almost hourly, what in my humble opinion is the most horrific, most satanic baby butchery, cannibalism, and pedophilia that frankly, Doug, makes a scandal, and I'm using finger quotes, like Watergate, seem quaint by comparison. However, folks, here is the problem. The mainstream media is ignoring this story. Remember, I joined you originally on the Hagman & Hagman Report to talk about Hollywood. And the hardest thing, Doug, you may recall, our private conversations about this, the hardest thing that I brought to light in the summer of 2015 was the awareness that I had that satanic child sacrifice does in fact occur in Hollywood. That is how many of you got to know me a little bit. It was a very difficult thing to discuss. We then proceeded, Flip Benham, myself, Pastor Langford, Coach, and Greg Jackson, in the later part of last year, we came out swinging against this Planned Parenthood horror show and the brokerage of baby parts for research, or in this case, Doug, for consumption. So what we have the unfortunate task before us of doing this evening, brothers and sisters, is explaining to you, and Doug and I will do our level best, exactly what this Pizzagate thing is. And Doug, before I hand it back to you by way of introduction, I want to remind everybody listening this evening that this is not infotainment for your edification. This is not something to place in your head along with the Federal Reserve and chemtrails and even the militarization of police. Folks, this is the most serious topic that I have ever discussed with you around the Hagman kitchen table. I want to remind all of you, and I do so with love, but hear me. This is happening in real time. We are not discussing some foul history that occurred back in the 1960s, or Doug, as you mentioned, with the Franklin Savings and Loan scandal. And I would mention, folks, you want to check out John Coleman and his work to understand, as Doug was contextualizing prior to the break, exactly how deep this Luciferian victimization of our defenseless runs. So, Doug, I thought the thing to do perhaps would be to just take a moment or two to sort of map out in a linear fashion for the Hagman listeners who are unaware exactly what this Pizzagate thing is. Does that sound appropriate?
It does, and I just want to add something to what you stated here. One of the reasons this is important is because this ties in. When we talk about the Luciferian elite, it's a trite statement. It's a trite characterization. You know, it rolls off the tongue like, oh, everyone knows what we're talking about. But one of the most important things that I have discovered or reaffirmed, I shouldn't say discovered, is the fact that what we're seeing here is the verification that the people in power are worshiping a different god. They're worshiping the god. They're worshiping the devil. They're worshiping Satan. This is actual satanic stuff. All right. Just so people understand this, this is not cozy. I mean, this is not, has not, and it doesn't matter, folks, if you and I believe what they're doing. It matters what they believe, and belief is their driver of their actions. So yes, go ahead. Let's map this out and one more thing. I do want to mention to the audience, John Roberson is part of the Hagman & Hagman team. And I'm so thankful for him, because what he has done, we've worked together, and he has spent hours upon hours of blood, sweat, and tears. Well, I'm not sure about the blood, although I think he might have slammed his hand in the car door once, but accidentally. But the fact is this, he's lined up some fantastic citizen researchers to further expose what we're talking about, and he has done so. Coming up in future programs in the not too distant future here, within the next week, are people who are going to be talking about this in depth, and all of your, you know, all of the questions that you have will be answered to some extent. That we, John has gotten people on the cutting edge, and I did. And lastly, and I'll shut up then, John. I want to say I spoke to Brittany Pettibone. today by phone. And folks, if you don't know who Brittany Pettibone is, she was on Alex Jones InfoWars a couple of times. Follow her if you do have social networking, and if you're on Twitter, follow her on Twitter, Brittany Pettibone, Pettibone. Her work in getting this out is just absolutely incredible. I mean, she's younger than my daughter. Okay, I think she's about a year younger than my daughter, and she is on top of this like I've never seen anyone before. And I'm singing her praises because she deserves it. And John has actually, we're going to have Brittany Pettibone on next week on the 5th. So, John, yeah, take it away. But I just want to make sure people understood your role in this.
Well, Doug, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And just by way of gratitude, it's fantastic to join the Hagman team. And folks, just to give you a little inside baseball of how we operate, many of you may recall last week, Doug threw down, I mean, just a smashing 30-minute intro of an analysis and a breakdown of Pizzagate. You'll want to go back and hear that show in the archives. It's from last week. And while I heard Doug sharing this with us in real time, I pulled the car over and began sending emails and began setting up phone calls. And folks, what happened over the next couple of days, I was not prepared for. However, it's a good thing I wasn't, because I would have been nervous and hesitant and certainly reticent to even get involved in this. Over the last 6 or 7 days, brothers and sisters, I have talked with London, Peru, and I don't even know how many states in this country, to find, vet, and schedule some of the most cutting-edge citizen investigators, many of whom are not believers. And I'm going to offer, by way of admonishment toward the end of my time with you this evening, a call to action for what I would encourage every brother and sister in Christ to do upon learning this information. Quickly, on the 5th, Monday the 5th, Brittany and Nicole Pettibone will join us from California. On the 6th, William Ramsey, who's doing fantastic work regarding this terrible, terrible topic, will join us on Tuesday the 6th, along with Stan Deo. And then on Wednesday the 7th, we will bring the senior editor of SGT Report, Sean, who is a friend of the show, on board with Doug and Joe to speak about this issue. And then, thank God, we'll have hour three with Pastor Langford. Hopefully he can bring some biblical context to this topic. So next week, folks, is a very heavy analysis of what we're going to just give you the broad strokes on this evening. And basically how it boils down is this. Many of you know that just before the election, a couple days before the election, WikiLeaks dumped a massive data dump. I think it's the biggest data dump in whistleblower history. It was 630-something thousand emails. Many of these emails reach to the absolute upper echelons of the DC power structure, and no political party is exempt. It seems to be more prevalent in the DNC, but there are certainly Republicans complicit as well. What happened, folks, is this. Many citizen journalists, many citizen investigators from all over the world came together on chats and on open forums such as 4chan and Reddit, and they began to disseminate the information in this enormous data dump. And what they did was actually brilliant. They divvied up the emails across many hundreds of investigators, those who were willing to spend some time examining this horror show, and they began to identify trends in vocabulary, in what I would call a criminal lexicon. And folks, it's important you understand this, because Pizzagate is a misnomer to the nth degree. The reason they call it Pizzagate is because these pedophiles use food to describe victims, their gender, their age, their ethnicities and physical characteristics, as well as the criminal, heinous sex acts that they either have engaged in or would like to engage in. Now, the smoking gun here, folks, is not a handful of emails between a couple of nobodies. The smoking gun exists at the top of Hillary Clinton's campaign. Her campaign manager, John Podesta, is guilty. John Podesta's brother, Tony Podesta, is guilty. Marina Abramovic is guilty. Lady Gaga is guilty. Okay, and we don't know how far up the ladder this goes because new information, and Doug, I know that you're dealing with this as well, literally coming out by the hour. So, folks, what we've done, Doug and myself and the Hagman crew, is we have done some research so that we can inform you because we need you at this time. So you may want to grab a pen, color crayon, back of a bill, sales circular, whatever you've got. You're going to want to take some notes. Here's what's happened. We've already talked in previous episodes about the Luciferian power structure in Hollywood. And when you look at Hollywood and the impetus of Hollywood, and I've done shows about this, of course, and it kind of, you know, it makes sense. You don't have to do a major mental or spiritual leap to figure out, okay, Hollywood's run by the devil. Let's move on. But what I'm telling you tonight and what Doug is telling you tonight is that the power structure of DC is not only as complicit as Hollywood, but they are in a disgustingly symbiotic relationship with Hollywood. It is a horror show dovetail whereby A-list stars, producers, executives, etc., are partying in Chicago, in D.C., in New York, and in Los Angeles with these Podesta people and their ilk. Now, where does Comet Pizza come in? Comet Pizza and Ping Pong is a small pizzeria in Northwest Washington, D.C., on a street called Something Street, of all things, and it has been identified as the epicenter of this pedophilia ring. So what I want you folks to understand is that this has all come out incrementally, and the real damning evidence thus far is this criminal jargon, pizza, hot dogs, extra cheese, and so on. And I'm not going to go into undue graphic detail, but I would encourage all of you who have your spiritual armor on to go and research these things so that you better understand the verbiage when we bring these guests on next week. As these citizen investigators began to culminate hundreds and hundreds of emails, thousands of tweets, what became evident was that in addition to spirit cooking, in addition to these sort of eyes wide shut, Luciferian, Aleister Crowley sex magic rituals, now we know these go on in Hollywood, we know they go on in Manhattan, but folks, they go on in D.C. as well. And Doug, I'm going to hand it back to you for a moment and take a breath, but I will leave the folks with this thought. If it is not the church who will rise as one single, very potent, very angry army and vanquish this, if the seed of Christ will not come together at this time and trample on the seed of the serpent as they in real time victimize the innocent, sacrifice the innocent, and over the past 4 days it has come to our attention that there is in fact cannibalistic activity. Folks, let me just put it to you bluntly, and Doug, I'll hand it back to you. They are drugging kids with Oxycontin, they are having sex with them, they are killing them, cutting them up, and consuming the flesh, because, as it's pointed out in Aleister Crowley's Book of Law, part of the sex magic ritual is the sacrifice of the blood of the innocent priests or Christians, preferably young boys, and the consumption of flesh. And certainly we've seen that just on Drudge Report in the last 6 or 8 months.
Yes, John, hang on. We're against the break here, but I don't think it can be stated any more plainly. It is that critical, and understand, this is not pleasant to talk about, but it's necessary for everyone to understand the scope of this. You're going to have a wide berth when we come back, John. Everyone stay right where you're at.